Thank you very much. And thank you to the choir for that beautiful song. That's worth the time you invested in it. We have all been blessed and refreshed. And thank you for saying not to stop at the half hour. However, when you've been broadcasting all the time, that clock really plagues you. Because when we're broadcasting and doing the programs, we have to be right within time. And when we're squeezing the time, the person who's producing the program goes like this. And that means it's time to quit. And when we're singing a song and there's even a thought of singing the chorus, the fist goes up like this and they say, no more of the singing. So you have to finish in time. So thank you for that liberty and license that you have given. I want to take just a few minutes to share just a little bit more of news with you. You know, for years, we've been broadcasting the gospel over long distances via shortwave, often behind all kinds of curtains, and especially the Iron Curtain. For more than 50 years from Ecuador via shortwave, we've been broadcasting into Russia and surrounding countries and now are finding more and more of what happened during that time. But a new day has dawned. We keep on broadcasting from a distance. But would you believe it? Right now, we have the privilege of broadcasting 3 hours daily in Moscow, on a Moscow AM station that covers the whole city and surrounding areas. And they came to us to ask us to broadcast 2 hours in Russian of the gospel. The man who directs the station used to listen to us on shortwave and was very impressed across the years. And when we filled 2 hours, they said, can't you give us some more time? And our Russian department said that was as far as they could stretch themselves right now. They said, well, couldn't you give us an hour in English? We said, yes, we could. And so in McAllen, Texas, we are preparing an hour in English for every day. And so we're on 3 hours a day, right in the heart of Moscow, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And would you believe it? They are charging us for the use of that station. $15 an hour. You can't even get a spot announcement in the United States for that. So that is a wonderful opportunity. And then I would like to tell you that God continues to bless those Spanish stations on the United States-Mexico border. Since we were with you last, we have gone on the air in El Paso. El Paso is right across from Ciudad Juarez, the biggest Mexican city on the border, over 2 million people. And when we go up to the mountain where we are renting space on a tower for our antenna, you look as far as I can see, and there extends Juarez. And God is doing some wonderful things there in that city. Let me just give you a couple of illustrations of that fact. A mechanic called and wanted to know the name of and where he could get the music he was hearing. Ricardo told him, good morning, brother. The mechanic answered, thank you for calling me brother, although I am not. But we do listen to your programming all day. And we have found that if we listen to it all day, everyone works better. A street child who sells newspapers, carries a pre-tuned radio around his neck, one that we have distributed to him, to hear all day. And he goes by every month to a designated bookstore to leave his $2 offering for the station. Well, God is working in many hearts and lives, and we thank him for it. Now, there's a literature table in the foyer. We covered it up for today because there's some things for sale. But I did uncover these little folders called World Radio Network that tells about these stations. Please take a folder after the service. And And sometimes folks ask, well, is that a ministry of HCJB too? The answer is yes. We just formed a subsidiary corporation because of the fact that we had to conform to certain rules of the Federal Communications Commission as far as the incorporation was concerned. But it's part of the ministry of HCJB. And if you have a tendency to mix up the call letters with Jim's medicine or whatever it is, why, just remember that HCJB stands for Heralding Christ Jesus Blessings. That's the way to remember HCJB. Now tonight we're going to think about a great word. That word is sufficiency. And if you will turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read a portion of that chapter. Incidentally, for Tuesday morning, we're going to go to the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence or maturity, but our great word is going to be grow up. All of us need to keep growing. Unfortunately, as they say about some folks, they die at 40 and are buried at 60. And we need to be growing up. Oh, let's see, I mistook that, didn't I? No, that's right. That means they stopped learning at 40. Stopped getting anything else, you see. Well, there's some tremendous verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, about spiritual growth. And the more we grow, the more we can reveal the beauty of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we walk on this earth. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15 tonight. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the need of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you who long for you, because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. If we really know, believe, and practice what the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians 9, this truth is life transforming. Our good friend Warren Wiersbe has said, the Christian who practices grace giving will always have what he needs when he needs it. And as someone has well said, so it makes sense not to be sad givers grudgingly or mad givers of necessity, but glad givers cheerfully. For just a little while tonight, I want to think with you about four things. Number one, the inexhaustible provision. Number two, the inevitable practice. Number three, the inescapable principle. And number four, the indescribable person. First of all, the inexhaustible provision. That, of course, is contained as stated in verse 8. Listen to this again. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I'm sure that you have noticed all the alls in this verse. All grace, abound, always, all sufficiency, all things. That really covers all the bases, doesn't it? And I think what it says in very simple terminology, it's that God can provide everything that we need. And that's so consistent with other parts of the Bible, isn't it? For example, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God. Romans 8:32, with him will also freely give us all things. 1 Corinthians 3:21, all things are yours. Ephesians 1:3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Philippians 4:13, all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need. 2 Peter 1:3, has given us all things which pertain to life and godliness. You know, the Bible goes out of its way to emphasize to you and to me that God will supply everything that we need. And I'd like to concentrate on just those two words, all grace. What does that mean? You know, we can feel it almost better than we can explain it. It's like the Scotsman who said, it's better felt than telt. And it's not so easy to define grace. In fact, when I talk about that, I'm reminded of a program that we have had at HCJB across the years. It's called Tiny Treasures. It's built on the style and the manner that Art Linkletter made so popular. You know, it's an unrehearsed program with a child or several children, and you ask them questions, and they give those beautiful, childlike answers. Well, one day, one of our program people was interviewing two boys of our staff. And among other things, she asked them if they thought it was important to read the Bible. And they said yes. And then she asked them again if they were sure about that. And they said yes. And then she said, well, tell me, what does reading the Bible do for you? And one of the little boys, without any hesitation, replied, it helps me to grow in grace. And then the interviewer asked the fatal question. She said, what does it mean to grow in grace? And this little guy put his hand over his mouth and he said, oh, my folks are going to kill me for this. I don't know. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. I like what Alexander McLaren, the great expositor, has said. He calls grace the shorthand for the whole sum of unmerited blessings which come to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Love expressed and displayed in action. Or as Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace you have been saved. The grace of God resulted in the giving of his Son, and with him everything that we need. But notice, all the words here are very important. God is able to do this. What does that mean? It means that he makes these inexhaustible resources available to us. But wait a minute. They must be received just as salvation is received. You and I know that there are always two actions in connection with a gift. The giver gives it, and the recipient receives it. And tonight I'm more convinced than ever that God is much more willing to give us what we need than we are to receive it. And I pray that you and I will grow, among other things, in the ability and the possibility of just opening our lives wide to the grace of God and the supply of all of our needs. And then this verse says that God is able to make all grace abound toward us, in order that we, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to good every good work. That word sufficiency is very interesting. It is translated contentment in 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the same word. or I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know what that says to you and to me? It says this. God will supply what we need when we need it. And quoting John Calvin once again, he put it this way, the measure which the Lord knows to be useful for us. Everything that is good for us, everything that we need, as we're going to see in just a moment, all that we need to serve Him and to be a blessing to others, God is willing to supply, and that involves the great word sufficiency. Or someone has described it this way, a complete self-sufficiency born of dependence on the all-sufficient God. Now, I'm sure there are a number of us here tonight who have great needs. I want to tell you, it's God's pleasure, it's God's ability, and it's God's wonderful gift to supply what we need. And I'd like to quote again that verse, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. You know what I'd like to suggest tonight? More than we have ever done, let's all embrace that verse and that promise and take it to heart and let God pour in His resources as He is so able to do. Now that leads us to the second thing, and that is not only the inexhaustible provision, but also the inevitable practice. What does this verse say? May have an abundance for every good work. And the purpose of all this great supply is that we will be equipped to be useful to God and to others. Not for us just to soak up everything like a sponge and keep it for ourselves, but to have a marvelous, useful service to others and for the glory of God. And over again in the Bible, this is what you find, that God says He will bless His people, and they, in turn, will be a blessing. And you go back to the Old Testament and think of the life of Abraham. You know, over and over again, God promised to bless him abundantly. But that was always followed by the statement, and in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Or as Psalm 67, 7 says, God shall bless us. Doesn't say period. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Isn't that wonderful? Over and over again, I'm reading in news and in psychological articles and so many other things that people are longing to have significance and meaning and fulfillment. Well, that's what this verse says. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you might have an abundance for every good work. And this promise assures us that as we give, God will keep supplying. Or somebody expressed it so beautifully, as regularly as the resources of the cheerful giver are taxed by his generous giving, they are replenished by divine grace. Or as John Peterson, I think was the one who wrote it so well, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. You know what? So trust God when you feel you're at your limit, when you're tired, when your resources are gone. Ask Him for the sufficiency to do His work. As Marge and I travel to many different churches, especially participating in missionary conferences, you know, over and over again when we ask some people how they are, we get a very interesting answer. There are a lot of people who say to us, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Well, I didn't quite know how to answer that for a long time. I've got an answer now, and the answer is, cheer up. Most of the world's work is done by tired people. But by tired people, especially in the Christian realm, who find their strength and their energy and their resources renewed as they trust God. Remember what Isaiah 40 says? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And I think what all these things are telling us tonight is this, that God will give you and me the resource, the strength, the blessing that is necessary to carry out the work that He has intended for us. And sometimes, when we get to the place in life when our strength is the most limited, that doesn't mean that we have lost our usefulness. That means that with the strength that God has given us, we will be able to serve Him and have an abundance for every good work. Now, in missionary service through the years, I have watched different missionaries operate. I've watched some operate who are really dynamos. They seem to have inexhaustible energy. They never seem to get tired. They get along on few hours of sleep and so on. And if they are careful about it and do the right thing, they have not only quantity in their work, but they have quality too. You know, some of us are so possessed by the American mass production psychology that we think that the more work we can grind out, the more fruitful we're going to be. That isn't necessarily so. We need to have quality as well as quality. But then again, I've watched other missionaries who obviously don't have the same active metabolism. They don't move as rapidly. They don't have as much energy. But you know what? I have watched a large number of them just be faithful day after day after day after day. And even though they haven't moved quickly, even though they don't exude energy, I have watched them as day after day they have received from God what they needed in order to do His work. And they've had a lifetime of wonderful service. I think of two people especially right now. One is a single lady who just recently retired. Oh, it's just amazing to see the kind of schedule that she kept through the years. She was an organist and a pianist. She taught many missionary children music lessons. She taught many Ecuadorian children music lessons. She was involved very much in a local church. I think at one time she had as many as 40, 50 students a week. And that wasn't all there was to it. She also got involved in the lives and the families of those students. You know, in one sense, I don't know how she did it, because she was not a person of unusually great energy. But I think that for each day's need, she had the resources supplied from the God of all grace. Then there's another person. He's a civil engineer. He comes from the great Moravian tradition. He and his wife are now retired. He never moved very quickly. And some of our folks got a little impatient with him because he wasn't quick enough. But I'll tell you, it was like the old story of the hare and the tortoise. And a lot of people who moved much more quickly didn't get nearly as far or as wonderfully as he did in his service for Christ. And both of those lives demonstrate to me how wonderfully we can serve the Lord when we are willing to draw on His resources and find the strength that we need. Let me quote the verse again because I wanted to impress your heart and life this morning, this afternoon, or this evening. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Well, there's a third thing. Not only the inexhaustible provision, not only the inevitable practice, but also the inescapable principle. And that is, the one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. The one who sows abundantly will reap abundantly. You know, that's the law of the harvest. We sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. We sow abundantly, we reap abundantly. You know what? Every farmer knows that. And even those of us who aren't farmers know that. As one person has expressed it so nicely, that is the law of God and the nature of things, whether men regard it or disregard it. As Marge and I were walking around the grounds this afternoon, we saw lots of beautiful flowers. What a beautiful place. How attractive, how beautiful. You know, that didn't happen because some people sowed just a few seeds. I think they sowed pretty abundantly. And now the harvest is very abundant. It's beautiful to see abundant fields of golden grain. It's also beautiful to see the abundant harvest of a giving person. That's the law of life. Someone expressed it this way, what I gave, I kept. What I kept, I lost. This teaching runs throughout the entire Bible, doesn't it? Proverbs 11, 24, 25. There is one who scatters yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Matthew 16, 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I think I may have mentioned this before. One of our co-founders, Dr. Clarence Jones, used to like to say, there are only two things you can do with your life. You can either give it away or throw it away, but you can't keep it. And that is the inescapable principle. And when that happens in our lives, then this passage describes a great circle of thanksgiving and joy. You know, sometimes in life, we talk about a vicious circle. I want to tell you about a glorious circle. Look at verses 11 and 12. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. You know what that says? That the giver is greatly enriched. The one who receives is blessed. And as the circle continues, God is glorified. That is a glorious circle. And now we come to the final thing, and that's the best of all. The indescribable person. This chapter ends with that great sentence that some of us have come to know and love very much. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. And when we think of giving, that reminds us of God's greatest gift, the gift of his Son. It's interesting that the word unspeakable or indescribable at this place, that word is only used once in the New Testament, and it's at that place. I think there's a reason for that. Jesus is unique. There is no other person like him or equal to him. We used to have a missionary at HCJB whom we respected very much, had a wonderful life of service, and I used to love to hear him say, as he stood before us, that Jesus is both incomparable and indispensable. And this gift comes from unspeakable love. It involves unspeakable sacrifice. It brings unspeakable results. And in conclusion and summary, all of our giving centers in and draws from the greatest gift of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible puts it so beautifully when it says, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. And that is the stimulus. That is the inspiration. That is the source. That is the reason for all the giving that we are able to provide and have an abundance for every good work. A number of years ago, we had as a speaker at our annual conference a black bishop from Africa. His name was Festo Kavenjeri. He was part of that group of Anglican bishops in Uganda that stood so valiantly for the truth at the time that Idi Amin was doing his awful work and actually killed the archbishop of that country. And Festo Kavenjeri and his family and others had to flee with leaving everything behind until they got to a neighboring country and found safety there. I tell you, we loved listening to Festo Kavenjeri. And you know why we loved listening to him? We still remember it. We're still refreshed by it. Because he had such a wonderful love and appreciation for the Lord Jesus, who is that unspeakable gift. And while he spoke to us, we ourselves felt gloriously refreshed and blessed as he magnified the Lord Jesus and said over and over again in different words, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And tonight, I think that you and I anew need to be sure that we are growing in our love for the Lord Jesus and that the Lord Jesus is operating in and working through our life, because that really is the resource. That really is the ammunition. That really is all of the material that we need in order to live a life that is honoring to God. Isaiah 12:3 puts it very nicely when it says, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And those wells never grow dry. It's so nice to see the lake coming up alongside of us. Not long ago, it was much lower than that. We hope it keeps getting higher. But I want to tell you of some wells that never won't run dry, that are absolutely inexhaustible. And Isaiah 12:3 puts it so nicely. Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Coming back to what we started with, that inexhaustible provision. Are some of us tired tonight? Worn out? Discouraged? Not knowing just where we're going to get the resources to meet the demands of this coming week? Well, let's remember 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And the God in whom we trust is much more willing to give than we are willing to receive. Marge and I live in Ocala, Florida, not far from here. I suppose that the best known tourist attraction of Ocala is Silver Springs. And although we have gone there a number of times, we never tire of seeing it. It's such a beautiful place. And the surroundings. But you know, the amazing thing is to go to Silver Springs, get into those glass-bottom boats, watch that beautifully clear water, and then realize that for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, the springs there at Silver Springs have been pouring out millions of gallons of fresh water every minute, and it doesn't seem to be any end to that supply and to that reservoir. Well, that's marvelous, isn't it? It's a beautiful thing to see. But I want to tell you, friends, that the one who created that great reservoir and those inexhaustible springs is the one who says to you and to me tonight that for life here on earth, for service in Jesus' name, he is ready and willing to give us everything that we need, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound to every good work. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you will take this passage of Scripture and imprint it on our hearts. And Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for my friends in Christ. I pray for others who are here who don't yet know the Savior. I pray that you will enlarge our faith and give us the ability to receive all that you have for us. As the person in the New Testament said it so well, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. We pray it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.